You can see Michael Rooker in two very different roles this summer. He plays Tom Cruise's car racing mentor in Days of Thunder, and he stars as Henry in the disturbing psychodrama Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Rooker has played other sinister movie characters. In Eight Men Out, he was a bribe-taking baseball player. In Mississippi Burning, he was a vicious Klansman. And in Sea of Love, he was the psychopathic repairman. I asked Michael Rooker if it seems ironic to be simultaneously starring in a mainstream, big-budget action film and an independent, low-budget drama that was initially rated X.
Yeah, it does, especially since we did Henry probably about 5 years ago. And it's very unusual for something to go away like that and to come back and get positive reviews.
Did you ever think that that movie was going to come back and haunt you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. You never know, you know. I mean, you do things, and it's early on in your career, and it was just the wrong time 5 years ago when it came back, and people were ready for it. Some people were, anyway.
When you thought that the movie might come back and haunt you, what were the types of things you'd worry about?
Well, casting, mainly.
Yeah.
For future work.
You would have been better known, but you would have been typecast.
Well, I don't know if I would have been better known, but I would have been definitely typecast more than I was. And as it is, I mean, Sea of Love, Mississippi Burning, those aren't quite the kind of
nice guy roles
you'd want to marry, you know?
Let me ask you some more things about the other film that's showing now of yours, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. When I interviewed the director of Henry, I told him that I really liked the way you'd played Henry because here you were playing a sociopath with no capacity for feelings, but you played it in this low-key, introverted way that made it easy for, like, the girlfriend character in the movie to interpret you as being, having wounded sensitivity.
As long as I can remember, she'd be bringing men up to the house. My daddy was there, too, but it didn't matter none to her. She'd make me watch it.
It's creepy.
She beat me, too, a lot. She beat me when I wouldn't watch it. And sometimes she beat me and make me wear a dress to watch her doing it. Then they'd laugh at me.
She made you wear a dress?
You think I'm lying?
I feel like I know you. Like I've known you for a long time. I feel like I've known you forever and ever.
The director said that that was your idea, that that was all your interpretation. So I'm interested in the insights you had into this character that led you to play it in this kind of way where the sociopath lacking emotions could be interpreted as being really sensitive.
He wasn't a big talker, you know. He had a lot of problems. It was almost as if it was anti-acting. It was completely opposite of what I had done in school, and so it was a major problem for me to sort of figure out a way to do this guy that would not be some crazy loony, you know. And I'd seen some interviews with the real person, and it reminded me of my dad, really, who was very soft-spoken man, very gentle and not very aggressive person. And but when the kids were doing something wrong or something, his voice would, you know, get very firm and very stern at times. It just gave me a feeling of, I mean, that's the only way it could have been done. I felt the guy had been lobotomized, basically, emotionally, totally lobotomized, and there was not much there.
Every role I've seen you in, I think, you've played someone from a working-class background. And I was wondering what kind of background you're from.
Well, I'm working class, but below working class, you know. Whatever. I grew up in Alabama until I was 13, and it was what they call down there is being on the wrong side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the poor people, basically. You know, all the people living on welfare and getting government subsidies or whatever, you know. Yeah, the people who a lot of times don't even have jobs, but try to make do the best way they know how. And so, my dad and the people that I grew up with were like miners and truck drivers and stuff like that. And by the time I moved to Chicago, it was just me and my my mom and my five sisters. So we grew up on the Nelson Algren's neighborhood, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Milwaukee Division, Ashland. And went to school at Wells High School, where it was very popular to drop bowling balls from the third floor. Back, I don't know if they're still doing it, but back then it was kind of rough school. And I sort of hid in the corner until I could get into the class or something.
Well, were you picked on at all for being the Southerner moved north?
Oh, when I first got here, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was major culture shock.
Yeah, what did you have to adjust to?
Well, basically, I had this accent that you couldn't even understand. And my hair was always cut short. And I was a real skinny kid. So I just looked very funny. And people just felt like, hey, come over here. I want to punch you in the nose. And I wouldn't allow them to do that. But I blend in. I try to blend in as quickly as possible. I mean, it was rough there for a while.
Did you know how to fight?
Well, yeah. I learned very quickly. Yeah.
Did you have racial adjustments you had to make moving from the South to the North?
As a matter of fact, I did. I mean, all I knew was where I was. I mean, there were no black people or Spanish people or any other kind of races involved in my hometown. It was just very white, very poor, you know, just kind of small town thing. And the black people lived over in a whole different part of town, which was basically their own town. You know, they had their own swimming pools, their own schools. And so I never had any kind of social involvement with black people until I moved to Chicago.
And what was that like? I mean, were you distrusting initially?
I guess I must have come at a very, very pivotal time. I got here and we moved, and basically it was almost an all-black neighborhood. So it was meant to be, you know. So I got there, and the school was, I think it was called, I forgot the name of the school, but it was mostly black. And the reason we moved there was because basically we couldn't afford anywhere else, you know. And eventually that stuck in my mind. These black people are just like me. We can't afford anything. They can't afford anything. They bleed. I bleed. When I punch them, they punch me. I bleed too. We're the same. And and I had lots of fights there, primarily because of who I was and the attitude I had, you know.
What attitude?
Well, I mean, I didn't know any black people.
Yeah.
And never socialized with them, and it was a problem when I first arrived.
For some people, for some men, acting would seem to go against the kind of macho image that they wanted to have. I think this was especially true a few years ago when you would have been coming of age. I wonder if you ever had reservations like that when you were young and thinking that acting might be interesting.
Well, I thought acting would be interesting, but it was not the thing to do. It was not work, basically. It was not work. You know, coming from the background I came from, people, you know, miners and truck drivers and people who really get their hands dirty and work hard, like 14, 15-hour days, you know, come home dirty and smelly and sweaty and everything. This acting had nothing to do with that. And so, I steered away from it for a long time. I didn't really I found what I really loved to do and what I, my dream, you know, what I desired to do all my life, and never really had the guts or the ego to really pursue And that started occurring probably in my early 20s.
As someone who's starring in one movie that has some really interesting, very disturbing scenes in it, I'm wondering if when you were young, if there were any movies you saw that were very disturbing and you loved, that really stuck with you.
No, there were almost no movies I saw when I was young that I loved. I didn't see any very good movies at all until I was in my late teens when I started meeting and hanging out with theater people in junior college there. Most of the time when we went to the movie house, the folks would take the kids and drop us off. And it didn't matter what was playing. They'd just drop us off and we'd go in. And it was usually Abbott and Lou Costello meets Frankenstein or something like that. or Godzilla movie, or that kind of stuff. That's what I grew up on, Three Stooges stuff, and they were good. I mean, it was fun. I like that. I like that kind of comedy, very physical comedy and stuff. But I never saw myself doing that as as an actor or anything like that. And it never even occurred to me to do that kind of thing.
Well, Michael Rooker, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Michael Rooker stars in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and Days of Thunder. This is Fresh Air.